bless your name. Almighty God, we bow before you. We bless your name.
We bless your name.
Glorify your holy name.
Come with our praise.
Closed, let us pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, once again, as mortals as we are, Heavenly Father, it is a privilege for us to come before thy throne of mercy. As the Bible says, that there will be a day whereby all the people that have ever existed on this planet Earth shall come before the throne. We are very, very much privileged, Heavenly Father, that this little group that is here today, it won't be part and parcel of that group that will be coming before the judgment throne. For this place that we are at this present moment, Heavenly Father, it is a judgment throne for us, Heavenly Father. As a minister, we'll be coming forward to deliver your word. The Bible says the judgment starts in the house of the Lord. We believe today that the judgment will come upon us, but the different part of us is that we are given the opportunity to rectify our mistakes, O God. Our prayer is that may our hearts not be hardened, Heavenly Father, as you shall be speaking to us today, as you shall be showing us our problems, as you shall be showing us your word, as you shall be showing us the right way that we need to take. As we know that the right way, it is the narrow way. The wider way, it is for those ones which are not believers. For us as believers, the way it is narrow. For we know that we have to die to ourselves so that we can be resurrected in Jesus Christ. That's why the song says that I'm dying to be reunited to be reunited with the one that has always loved me. Today, Heavenly Father, we know for us to live this life of Christianity, we have to die to ourselves and be resurrected in Jesus Christ. That's why now and then we used to hear our prophet saying that I am becoming of myself, as in like I am losing my mind. Now and then my mind, it seems like it is going away from me. People think that I might be insane. But the very mind of Jesus Christ, as the Bible says, let the mind that was in Christ be in you. It was taking full preeminence in the prophet. Our prayer is that today also us, as we are here, Heavenly Father, may we be able to let go of our mind, for our mind has nothing good with it. But if we can take the mind of Jesus Christ, we know very well that we would have done the right thing, and we know very well that our life as Christians, it is going to be very, very easy. For there is always an inward battle that is raging within us, and we are taught by our prophet that the dog that we feed the most that is in us is the dog that is going to prevail. Some of us, we know today, as we have come to this place, we come from diverse backgrounds, from diverse situations. Some of us, through the week, it wasn't easy. Some of us, through the week, some of us became sick. Some of us, through the week, we meet different challenges. But we are here in the house of the Lord, in the house of the potter, who shall make us according to the way you want to. As we know, Father God, that you have a purpose about our lives. We never created ourselves to be here. You are the one who created us to be here. The problem is that we are facing is that we don't understand that purpose yet, and that's why now and then we try to be defiant to it. Our prayer today is that by your word, O God, today that you are going to deliver, may we accept your will. We know that your will, it is perfect, and it is the good will. Here are your children. Here again, Father God, they have come to worship you, and the service has started. Our precious brother is leading us in the songs of Zion. We pray, Heavenly Father, as we have felt already your presence among us, keep on being with us, Heavenly Father, till we go to the word, and the word we know that it will restore us back to our original position. For it takes the original word to take us back to the original position that we had with you before the foundation of the world. We commit all these things, believing and trusting in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Just take one chorus, and then from there, we'll go straight to our song testimonies. We'll start with the last one of the Sunday, Brother Clement's poem, and then we'll go with the ones that we got today. Amen.
Messiah is the King of Kings,
oh, Messiah is the Lord of Lords,
oh, Messiah.
Thank you.
Amen. Let's give God a hand of praise once more. I'm going to request my elders to just take offerings for the Spirit of God for now. Let us take a song here that says,
Marabongwe, 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 Marabongwe.
Oh,
only gave us one song. So we haven't sang any song from Congo for a while. So since we've got one song from Congo, we'll sing just one song. So brothers, give us those songs. We want songs from Congo so that everybody can feel at home. Hallelujah. So we'll just do that one song from Congo. And then until they give us the rest, then we will sing the only one. Hallelujah.
Banani bagonetu lama, banani bagonetu lama, banani bagonetu lama, oh hallelujah. Banani bagonetu lama, banani bagonetu lama, banani bagonetu lama, oh hallelujah. Siti ave.
Just come forth and say a word of prayer. So let us bow our head.
Let's close our eyes. Almighty Father, this morning we'd like to thank you, Father, for this opportunity you've given to us this morning to come and gather in this fashion, Father.
Yes.
Your word has said that if when one or two gather in your name, Father, you will be among them, Father. And this morning, Father, we believe that you are among us, Father. Your children have given this morning, Father, in tithes and offering, Father, as a token of thanks for what you've done in their life, Father, how you take care of them, take care of their families, their children, Father. And as a result, they just came here to say thank you, Father. And as a result, Father, I know that you will bless them abundantly, Father, so that even the next time they will be able to give more, Father. Even those who haven't been able to give, Father, you know the reason behind it, Father, and bless them as well, Father. And may you please be the one, Father, who's going to guide us in this morning's service, Father, and be the one, Father, who's going to come and lead us in it, Father. May you please, Father, be the one, Father, who's going to lead us, Father, even your servant this morning as he's preparing the word, Father.
Yes.
You know what it is that we need in our hearts, Father, because the one thing that we need more than anything, Father, is your word, Father, because your word is life, Father, eternal life, Father, and we believe that with it, Father, we'll be able to gain the same, the respiring faith that we need, Father, to be able, Father, to go into rapture, Father, because we believe that we are not of this world, Father, but we're just here, Father, for a time, Father, waiting for you, Father, to come and take us, Father, to be with you for into eternity, Father. Mm. We pray, Father, believe in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father, as we commence this service unto you, in the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus, you may be seated. While we greet you once more in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, we are happy to be in the house of the Almighty God. And then told that Sister Maseko, she's not feeling well this morning. So that's why she's not around.
Okay.
And Brother Nati also, I think it's at work this morning. And then, so Brother Sibeko, God bless you, sir. And then, Sister Malaka at the back, God bless you. So, Brother Emmanuel, where is he? If you can just raise your hand, Brother Emmanuel. That is Brother Emmanuel from Congo.
Emmanuel Obuya e Congo.
And then may God richly bless you. Okay. Imangez nyao kebakubone, man. And then, okay, umama gabonelo lo, lumfobatu sbonelo, umama akelo.
This is the mother of our brother Sbonelo.
So, God bless you, ngahlala phansi ma. So, siyabonga, we had a meeting with them yesterday.
Sibenomhlangano nabo izolo.
So, yeah, so God bless her. See, Brother Sbonelo was worried here, but where is my mother? She couldn't stay in the service. So we really appreciate it. And then Thanksgiving here from Brother Mutokozi, he was told us that he's got God provided him with a new job. So those who doesn't know that Jehovah is Jehovah Rapha, is Jehovah Jireh, it means he is still a provider this morning. Whatever that we are in need of, and then we must just say he is still the provider. And then also Brother Musizi and Sister Yende, Sister Ratile here. I'm told that God also protected them yesterday from an accident. So they are scratch free here. So God is a protector. So we serve the miracle working God. And then, Meneer Van Rooyen. Ek sien, waar is Meneer Van Rooyen? Just stand on our feet and I give you a standing ovation. And Sister Lorraine. Okay, they say they thank the Lord that they are now 24 years in marriage.
Amen.
Yeah. No. God bless you, Sister Lorraine and Brother Fanny Van Rooyen.
So,
yeah, no, I think we are learning from you. And you give us hope. Those that think, you know, it's impossible, we will pinpoint at you and say, nobody, it is possible.
Now
we are really proud of you. And may God richly bless you. And then also on ourselves, I think a personal just a thanksgiving to you, church. And then I think some of you are aware that my wife has been admitted on Wednesday. So she's still there by your prayers. We are there. So we thank the church. Yeah. So, and then the other thing, I think you had we had a couples fellowship. On Friday. So, and then I'm told that it was a great one. And then, yeah, so I missed it, but it was just because God didn't allow us to be there. And I was in forefront organizing. And come Wednesday, things happened. But we know that we can't complain. God is in charge of every situation. Yeah, so, and Sister Sheila, I think, brother, we managed to baptize them, is it last week? Yeah, last week.
Amen.
So God bless them. And then I think we need to start preparing for the conference as soon as we can. Because it's already May, and then... call it the conference is fast approaching.
So May vele,
usually if you start paying now, it will be much more better when comes September. You have already paid.
We are all
aware that when December comes, then it becomes a problem. And then, yeah, the children need money to go to school and all those things. So if you can see the trustees, you've got an extra 200 rand that you pay, that will be great. So, yeah, we appreciate everything. And may God richly bless you. So let us stand on our feet and sing a song while our dear and precious pastor is coming. So and really, God bless you.
Agree with the song this morning. How many can say he's faithful this morning? He's never disappointed us at any point in time. Amen. Amen. That's why we love him this morning. Where would we be had it not been of our Lord? Where would we be if God had not sent the prophet? This message means more to us than life itself. As somebody say, take everything else but leave me with Jesus. Because he is a true faithful friend. And we love him this morning. We all welcome you. Amen.
Amen.
As we just go to the reading of the word. Rampayan says Sister Mpayana is in the hospital, as we mentioned on Wednesday.
Yeah,
but we believe she's coming back and she's not going back there anymore. Amen. As we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. You found it written this manner. It says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. Isn't it beautiful?
Yes.
No other foreign God, only one God. If you worship the sun, you must know that there was God before there was the sun. If you worship your ancestors, you must know that there was God before your ancestors. Where you read, there was only one God. I love this verse. And it says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. We'll just read verse 33 and I'm going to jump there. 14:33. It reads in this manner. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Amen. You get a sequence there. Where there is no confusion, there is no peace. Amen. If there is confusion, then there is no peace. Amen. If there is no confusion, then there is peace. As it must be in all churches of the saints. Verse 37, it reads in this manner. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that are right unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Don't you just love how
how Paul spoke with authority. Amen. If you think you are a prophet or spiritual, say, acknowledge that the things that I say are from the Lord. So your spirituality could not take you above Paul. It had to subject you to Paul. I hope we are together. Now he says, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophecy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Amen, let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, this morning we are very much thankful just to be called your children.
Amen.
It's quite a special designation, dear God.
Amen.
And that is why for a few minutes as your children, we've got an appetite for your word, because you and your word are the same.
Amen.
As the Bible says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And this morning, we want to hear exactly the same word from the origin, dear God. I'm committing every man and woman in this building to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
As you take your seats. Amen. I think maybe just to start, we can say, we speak about God is not the author of confusion. Amen.
Yeah.
How many believe that God is not the author of confusion? But
he
is God of order. Amen. Wherever you find him, you find things running orderly. I think the frustration throughout the seven church ages is that you find that although they had gifts, but in some instances they did not have the order. The order that was laid by Paul in the first church age, as time progressed, we realized that the order regressed. But in the end time, Brother Branham came and he went back to identify the original foundation and said, now we need to start building from the original foundation. We know that Paul was a prophet. And we know that Brother Branham was the prophet. And we know that anyone that came in between were reformers. And the prophet has got the highest order of the weight. When God sends the prophet, he sends the prophet with the fullness of the weight. The reformer could be there, but when they are there, there are certain, I mean, we look at Martin Luther, a great, sincere man of God. He preached a very good message for his age, but immediately you find him that he was enjoying his pipe as much as he was a great minister. Because why? When the Bible says Paul speaks about partial realization and complete realization. You can't blame Martin Luther because it was a partial realization. But today, you and I have got no excuse because we've got the restored weight. We no longer have things in part, but we've got things in fullness. And I looked at it and I said, God, I thank you that you sent the prophet in the end time. And I asked myself, as a pastor, I say, if God had not sent the prophet in the end time, how was one going to lead the church? How would I speak to you this morning? Where would I get my message? I tell you, I was going to bring psychology, or I'll just bring religion, or I'll just bring my own mind. But when all said and done, we all have no eternal life.
Wow.
Hallelujah. But because the eternal life is only brought by the fullness of the way. Outside the fullness of the way, there is no eternal life. But I thank God through this prophet, because he brought the fullness of the way. And today we know what happens, what should happen. That's why if you get into a house and you find that in the house, the people that are in the house, they don't know where things must be put orderly. You might find shoes on the table. You might find food under the bed. Because things are chaotic. But when you walk into an orderly house, the bread is in the bread bin. The shoes are in the cupboard. The cleaning things are in the cleaning cupboard. Then we say the house is orderly. And a house that is orderly, it makes you have a peace of mind. Have you seen that when things are disorderly in the house, you don't have peace of mind? When things are not orderly, it makes noise in the house. But when things just fall into place, you walk into a house where things are orderly, then you are even able to sit on the couch and relax, because everything is orderly. And the same thing with the house of the Lord. When things are not orderly, there can never be peace. That's why the prophet in the end time, the first thing that he did, it was to restore order in the church. And when he restored order, then it attracted God's presence among his people. And the prophet was able, God was able to bring the blessings to the people. Because why? God is not the author of confusion. The Bible says in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And then that brother Bram says, period, that was it. He says how long it took him, it's none of our business. But it might have been hundreds of billions of years. But all we know is that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And then that order, that earth that God had created, it was in a perfect state. Now it makes you to, did you know? It makes you to know that in verse 1 and verse 2, there is a period of time in between. Because God did not create the earth that was full without form, that was void and that was dark. God's creation is perfect. I hope we are together. And that earth that was created, then it was without form, void, and the darkness was upon the the face of the deep.
And
the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth. Brother Branham says God's Spirit transformed a chaotic environment from chaos into a perfect place called the Garden of Eden. The earth was void. It was without form. It was dark. And in your life there was a time. It was void. It was dark. It was without form. You don't know whether you were going or coming. But the time came when the Spirit of God began to move upon your life. The life that was darker, the life that was void, the life that was dark. Now God in that life, He said, let there be light. And there was light. What was that light? It was the message of your hour. The message of the hour is here to restore our life back to their original form. Where there is the light, where there is structure, where there is direction, where there is order. That's why we thank this prophet. That's why we appreciate what God has done with this prophet. This morning there are many churches across the globe. Things that are spoken there, the pastors, they are now fundraisers. Hallelujah. They are financial managers. Because why? The word of God is not in its place. But the prophet has come to bring a standard and let every man that thinks himself spiritual, let him acknowledge that what the prophet spoke, it was the commandments from the Lord. And by so doing, I want to put it plainly. It may not be a popular statement, but the truth needs to be said. There's no one that can fly higher than Brother Branham. Everyone must be subject to the prophet of the hour. And me as a pastor, the reason I'm able to come and preach and you're able to know what I preach is the truth is because God sent the prophet to set the standard, and whatever we speak must meet that standard. At no point in time where Brother Branham is going to be taken out of the picture. The only time we take him out of the picture, and actually we can never take him out of the picture, because when we get onto the other side, we are the products of his ministry. And we are the people that lived during the time of Paul. They will come and say, we are the products of Brother Branham's of Paul's ministry. Everyone shall have his own group. And we will say, this is what the results of your ministry has produced. And that's why I want to say to you, you need to stay with the person that loves the prophet. Not the person that competes with the prophet. I hope we are so, but there's been a lot of competition, people trying to compete with the prophet. He made a mistake here. I say, goodness, before he made a mistake, where were you? Because you were somewhere in some denominational junk. And the prophet came and spoke. And you moved out of your denomination and began to read the message. At some point in time, then you thought you knew better. Then you started marking the prophet with the red pen. But there was a time when you were a sinner. And God protect his prophet. The pillar of fire, as soon as he was born, it was there. To protect him. As he grew up, it came and protected him.
Yes, I am.
What was happening? God was preserving a gift in the prophet to make sure that gift is not corrupted. And actually, yes, the prophet made mistakes. And how How did we know that there were mistakes? He is the one that told us that here I made a mistake, but he corrected me. Because the prophet can never be corrected by somebody. He is corrected by God, and he comes to the people and say, God corrected me.
Amen.
I hope we are together. Amen. Now, the prophet came and I said, God is not the author of confusion. Whatever God does, there is an order to it. But let me read that quotation in the message, God's Power to Transform, paragraph
37. God's Power to Transform, paragraph 37.
Now this word transformed, I looked up in the dictionary yesterday, and it says it's something that's changed. Hallelujah. It's to be changed. Transformed, it means made different than what it was. I hope you hear me, believers. When you say you have accepted the message and being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge that this message is the truth, there must be transformation in your life. Hallelujah. Something must be different from what it was. Your thinking must change. Your walk must change. Your dressing must change. Things must change in your life. If they don't change, there was no transformation. I hope we are together. Amen. Because sometimes we have some difficult conversations. I had a conversation with a sister. Because we baptized her a number of years, a year or two. Because sometimes you give a person a room to grow. Amen. But later I realized that we are almost a year and a half down the line. And dressing doesn't improve, it's even going worse. Then I asked her, do you understand what you have believed? Do you know the expectation of what you have believed in? Amen. But I realized that there is a problem. Because the message, when you accept a message, it must change you. If you can claim to have been believed the message, but it doesn't change you, you bring reproach to the message. There must be a difference between how other people are that are non-believing message people and yourself. Because when you believe, you become God's billboard. We must point at you and say, there goes that woman, there goes that man. He or she believes this message. And what makes us to be different from the people in the world is that there is a standard of holiness amongst us. If we can remain with great mysteries without life, we are like the rest of them. Actually, if you are with mysteries without life, you are a philosopher. But God is looking for the people that have got his life in them.
uNkulunkulu ufuna abantu abanempilo yakhe kubona.
I hope we are together.
Ngiyathemba sisonke.
Now it says this world was without form.
Uthi lona umlaye izwe belinganasimo.
It was void.
Kwakungenalutho.
And darkness was upon the earth.
Ubumnyama buphezu komhlaba.
Nothing but a complete chaos.
Uthi kwakuyisiyalo yalo kuphela.
And when this world was in that condition,
uma lelizwe lalunesasimo,
the spirit of God moved upon the face of the water.
Umoya kaNkulunkulu wawuhawe.
The entire picture was changed from a total chaos to a Garden of Eden. That is the transforming power of God that can take something that's nothing and make something wonderful out of it. God's transforming power. And this power, when it comes into your life, it's bound to change your life. It's bound to take something out of nothing and make something wonderful out of it. Now I say, wherever God is, there is no confusion. Even in leadership, there is an order of leadership in the message. There is an order of music in the message. There is an order of life in the message. Everything must be done decently and in order. And firstly, if it starts with me as a leader, that means that what I preach, it must be what I live. That means I must lead by example. I must not say something else and live something else. What I say, it must be exactly what I live. And the order of the leadership is that I must lead the sheep by love. Because he said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord. He said, Peter, do you love me?
And
he said, yes, Lord. Then he repeated the third time. Then Peter was now starting to doubt, to be nervous. But he said, feed my sheep. So you can never feed God's sheep until you love the Lord. I hope we are together here. The reason that you will take care of God's sheep is because first you must love the Lord that created the sheep. And that love of God in you must guide you how to protect the sheep. And what does it mean when you say the shepherd loves the sheep? It doesn't mean that the shepherd turns into a yes man. It doesn't mean that the shepherd turns into a yes man. It does not mean that a shepherd turns into a yes man. A shepherd has got a right to say things are not right. We need to fix them. Because why? Love is corrective. As a shepherd, I must never be afraid to correct the sheep. If a sheep goes off the rail, it's my responsibility to say, come back on the line. Because why? Ultimately, I must bring the sheep back to its original destination. I hope we are together. That's why when you come into a pastorship, you must know one thing. The truth will never make you popular. I'm quoting from Kadish Barnea, from the prophet. The truth will never make you popular, but it will make you honest. And what we need today is honest leaders that can bring the truth that the prophet spoke. Whether the church is full, whether the church is empty, but they've got the audacity to stand on what the prophet said. Actually, we need the leaders with backbone. I hope we are together. And when you find such leaders, then you don't have any confusion.
Out today.
I hope we are together. Amen. And the pastor in the local assembly, he's the gatekeeper to check that the devil does not come in. That's why a pastor must have a spiritual discernment. He must know that if it starts here, it will end up there. Hallelujah. He must have a foresight. And you can't have a foresight until God is in you. So he must be full of God. Hallelujah. And the church is the one that elects the pastor. The church of God or the local assembly, you know, no man comes from somewhere and say this man will be your pastor. The people that are here that support the church with their attendance, with their tithes and offerings, those are the people that will choose who's their pastor. And those people must have a spiritual discernment as well. Because you don't just want to talk a man that has got the eloquence of speech. But it must be a man that has got a godly character that you can be able to look up to and say, that's a man of God in word and in deed. Then it brings you, it makes your life much easier. But the local assembly has got the final authority. Our church here, there's no one man that has got a final say. The church as a collective is the one that has got a final say. I hope we are together. And that is the order of the prophet. So that means, and a lot of people, this church, it must have fellowship with other churches. Because why? We are part of a universal body of the Lord. We are part of that mystical body. And this church will not hate other churches, but it will embrace other churches that are advancing the cause of the message. Because what this message must bring unity in the bride. When I come to you, I'm not trying to elevate myself at the expense of another man somewhere. No, I must elevate my brother. My brother must elevate me. We must uplift one another. But all of us must elevate God. I hope we are together here. Now, when it is like that, that's why I can't teach you to hate. Because if I'm full of hate, I will transmit hate. But if I'm full of love, I will transmit love. But I've seen with the prophet, there has been a Paul. What do you think of your father? He says, you know, with my father, I never knew his enemy from his friends. How does a young man that walked with Brother Brennan couldn't even tell who was his enemy, who was his friend? Because about all of them, he spoke lovingly about them until the son couldn't know who was the enemy. And today, we ministers, we must be like the prophet. Today, you must not know who's my enemy. Because why? My enemy, I must even love him more. Because why? It demonstrates that the love of God is in me. If you love people because they do good things to you, that is a filial love, it will end. But if you love the people, because it is the love of God flowing through you, that love has got no beginning, has got no end. It loves unconditionally. And today, as ministers, we must transmit that love into the heart of the people.
Amen.
Hope we are together. Amen. That's how it is. If you want to know how I am, you need to hear my views about other people. Hallelujah. Brother Brandon, there are people that wronged Brother Brandon.
Liwenjini.
The Wayne Church. Tempered with tapes. Brother Branham tells Brother Peregrine.
Umfoto Branham tjela uPeregrine.
Says that those boys.
Uthi labafana.
They crooked me. They tampered with the tapes. And they were driving around about 3 hours. When they got somewhere, Brother Branham came out and stretched himself and said, Brother Perry, let's go up there. Do you know that Lewenjini stays up there now? Let's go and visit those boys. Brother Peregrine looked at the prophet.
But
you just told me that they crooked you, Brother Branham. And Brother Branham looked at Brother Peregrine. And said, Brother Peregrine, I thought you knew me better.
Yes.
The fact that they crooked me doesn't make me love them less. That's the prophet that I believe in.
Amen.
And is an example to us. That's how we need to be like. Amen. Now I said, as I'm quoting the prophet here, in the message of
the Hebrews,
he says, I believe in the supreme authority of the local assembly. And I know every time you speak about sovereignty, it's a very sensitive subject. A lot of time it's abused. Sometimes you find, I'm saying it plainly for what it is, so that you are better informed. You find a pastor is not living right. And other pastors want to correct his unclean living. And then he says, no, we are sovereign. That's wrong. That's not supposed to be that. Because you believe in the same prophet that we believe in.
And
if you are misrepresenting him, you may not be in our church, but we've got a right to come to you and say, brother, you need to fix things. So you can't hide behind the banner of sovereignty. When Brother Branham spoke this, he was not making pastors not to hold each other accountable. Actually, we need to hold each other accountable. If one says I'm an eighth messenger, I've got a right to say, brother, it's wrong. It's not according to what Brother Branham taught. And he can't hide behind sovereignty. Sovereignty is right, but as long as it operates under the banner of the
weight.
Amen. I wanted to clear that. Amen. He says, I believe in the supreme authority of the local assembly. Let each church be its own. Choose its pastors, its deacons, whatever it is. That is the way it should be like. Hallelujah. So that means here, no one can just come here and become a trustee. You've got a right to ask him and say, when did I choose you? The men that are in this church were not elected by me. Were elected by you. And that's why, because they were elected by you must cooperate with them. And the reason you elected them is because you believe that they are men of sound judgment. They can lead the church. If they are trustees, they will make sure the church is not overburdened in terms of the debts. If there are deacons, they know how to take care of your spiritual matter. Because a deacon is a policeman in the church. He can go in. The prophet said sometimes he will even arrest his friend. But these people are elected by you. Even myself as a pastor, I'm elected by you. I'm here to serve the church, not for the church to serve me. Because why? That is the spiritual order that was laid out by the prophet. So you've got the trustees that take care of the finances. You've got the deacons that can take care of spiritual matters. They all assist the pastor. But all these people, it's not a boys' club. It's not a boys' club. It's the people that were elected by the church. They are not to lead the church with their ideas, but they are to lead the church according to the principles of the message. They are able to lead the church lovingly as they have seen their prophet leading the church lovingly. Hope we are together. Amen. Now, he says, then that way, the man in there has got no bishop over him. Hey, this one is very sensitive. Hallelujah. In the message, we've got elders. We don't have bishops. Hallelujah. The church is sovereign. But it has elders. Hallelujah. But no, you know what the bishop? Before I preach here, I must phone the bishop and say, what do you think of today's sermon? If I invite a brother, I must check with the bishop whether he's happy that I invite the brother. It's not how it runs. It's not according to the order of the message. I hope we are together. And you must remember, why did the prophet make it in that way? I'm glad he made it in that way. And right there, there's something hidden there. What is hidden here? It's what frustrated the mark of the beast. Because for me, to deceive all whatever Methodists in South Africa, I must make an appointment with the whole head office in Johannesburg and speak to the Archbishop and say, from today, according to the constitution of the country, you can as well elect homosexuals as priests. And if the Archbishop is convinced, then he will send an email to all the branches in South Africa and say, from today, that's how we do it. So deceiving there is very easy. But in the message, you can't deceive one man and think you have deceived us. Because all of us, we are independent. If you deceive that church is rising. If you deceive that church is rising. That's how it is. I hope you see something. Cardinal Walter Casper, that has been tasked with the ecumenical movement. He wanted to unite the churches. Listen to what he says. He says, our work has been easier with established denominations because we're able to engage the headquarters. But there are some other churches that are mushrooming all over the globe. They've got no headquarters. It is difficult to engage them. When I saw that, I said, God, I thank you. Because he's speaking about us. Our headquarters is not in New York. Our headquarters is not in Europe. Our headquarters is in heaven. So that means before you deceive us, you must deceive our headquarters in heaven. And let me say to you, it is impossible. I hope you get it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now he says, The Holy Spirit wants to speak something to the church. They don't have to ask anybody whether they could do this or do that. Amen. So that means it simply means that. Hallelujah. A local assembly is not a colony. Amen. You know how a colony operates. If you are a British colony, you've got to adopt their way of doing things. If you, before you do anything, you need to check with them. But that is not how it operates in the message. The local assembly is not a colony. It elects its own people. Even if I die as a pastor, nobody will come and say, this brother will be our pastor. I had a PhD student the other time here. She came through and said she wanted to interview me on leadership. And said, Pastor, in your church is there succession planning?
Amen.
Succession planning.
If you die now, what's
going to happen? I said, we've got a solid succession planning. He said, have you chosen somebody? I said, I have not chosen anyone. I said, I've got a board that is spirit filled. And when I die, they will go to the church and identify the people that they think they can lead, and they will bring them before the church, and the church will elect them. That's the succession planning that I have. Not somebody will bring somebody somewhere, but you people. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's just a sensitive issue. A brother asked me about it. I think I need to delay it. He came to me and said, Pastor, your trustees are giving me a problem. They want us to write our names on the envelope when we pay tithes. Why? And then I said, okay, suppose I die.
Okay,
and then you need to elect a new pastor. How are they going to know that you are a full member? How are they going to differentiate from a visitor? Then
you
say, Pastor, I didn't see it like that. Then I
say,
they've got a right to exclude you. Amen. Does it
clear?
Amen. Let's continue. When the Holy Spirit wants to speak something to that church, they don't have to ask anybody whether they could do this or do that. If the individual in contact with the Holy Spirit, show me by the Bible what's greater in the Bible than a local elder in a local assembly. That's right. Yes, sir. The sovereignty of the local church, each church in itself. Now, brotherhood, that's wonderful. Brotherhood is so wonderful. On Friday evening, I had some pastors in Middleburg. And we're meeting and we're having fellowship. And I came back, I had a wonderful time. Because just to be in the presence of other fellow soldiers and you speak and you fellowship, it makes you feel like I'm not alone. There are men out there with their own swords, and we are fighting for the same cause. You know, the disciples the other time, they come to Jesus, they say, we found another man. He had had our books. He was preaching our message. Then we said, because you are not with us, you must stop with this. Then Jesus said, that's not how it's supposed to be done. If he is building with us, he is with us. He must continue. Hope we are together. Amen.
And for a number of years, that's what I've tried to build in this church. That
in this world, the bride is a mystical body. Never ever be cleanish. Hallelujah. You belong to a mystical body. Don't ever judge a person based on where they worship. And don't excommunicate a person because they don't fellowship with you. You must love them as if they are worshiping with you. Because in the message, we are beginning to have camps. And my desire, I don't want to belong to any camp. There is one camp that I belong to. That is the camp of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every brother that is in that camp is my brother. Any brother that is in, and a sister that is in that camp is my sister. Because we see divisions coming up in the message.
Amen.
So we see divisions. But the Jesus says, love one another. By this, they shall know that you are my disciples. I hope we are together. What is that love? Agape love. Nothing shall enter there except that perfect love. If you want it, you are not going. Are we together?
Amen.
So brotherhood is encouraged. We want to know what other brothers are doing. We want to pray for them. We want to team up with them against the devil. And every man that is advancing the cause of this message is my brother. Hallelujah. And when you have seen number of years since I've been here, the ministers that come to preach, they come from diverse backgrounds. Coming from one direction, I can call anybody that God drops in my heart and say, bring that brother here to bless the church. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
And some of the things that we come through, because sometimes as a leader you go through criticism.
Well,
I had some brothers to come and preach here. And a brother went around complaining and say, Brother Madiba calls this brother because he no longer wants to work with these brothers. That's a hogwash. Hallelujah. That's wrong. And my responsibility, if I call this brother and I call that brother and they don't talk to each other, I must be a bridge builder. When I've invited this brother, I must say to this brother, you know, I was with that brother. He tells me, you are a fine minister. And when I'm with the other brother, I say, I was with that brother. He said, to you, about you are an honest brother. All of a sudden, brothers that were not talking to each other, you see a bridge being built. They are starting to greet one another, because in between them there was a bridge builder. Today the message, we've got bridge destroyers, and we've got less bridge builders. But God, give us more bridge builders. Are we
Amen.
Together, brethren?
Amen.
And when we do that, we protect the stature of the message. If you've got nothing good to say about your brother, keep quiet.
If your brother made you angry, go and pray for them. Then we will say you are an upright believer. Don't excommunicate people because they don't belong to our group. God has given them places to go and till the ground there. Send a prayer their way. Then that's brotherhood.
Amen.
And we'll still have ministers that come here. And obviously, as a pastor, I'm not careless. I check a man how his stance has been in relation to this message. I don't just allow anybody to preach because they've got a voice. You know, I'm interested in the life before the voice. Because if you bring people that are into polygamy, they leave spirits in the church. So a man must be checked and be lining up with this message. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Now he says, now, there's anything, if there's anything wrong in the church that you ever know of, or some individual or some person or anything, you are duty bound and will answer before God if you don't clear that thing out. You, the church. Now remember, it's not on my shoulders. It's on yours. Anything wrong in the church, God will make you answer for it. Amen. And somebody asked me, and I need to put it out. It's an elderly sister. Say sometimes you've got visitors. Because a visitor doesn't know what we believe. They just see a building and say, Sunday I'm going to this church. And we encourage it because God, that's how God calls people. But and when she decides to go to church, she dresses in a certain way because she doesn't know any better and walks into church. And when you look, you elderly sisters, you see that the sight is pathetic. And then a sister asked me and said, Pastor, is it wrong if I've got a cloth, if I could just put it on the visitor and say, just cover yourself? I said to your sister, I'll think about it. Now, when I was asleep in the middle of the night, I woke up. Then I remembered when the two couples, another woman, went to Branham Tabernacle and took a front seat, and she was not dressed right. The prophet took off his jacket and went to the sister and said, just cover yourself.
What is involved?
It is allowed, sisters, you can do it. Did you hear me? You don't have to ask, but do it lovingly. After the service, you go to the sister and sister, the reason I did this is because of this and that. I want to visit you. Let's talk more about it. The scripture says, you elderly teach young women.
It is scripture.
You don't have to wait for the pastor. It even gives you an opportunity to testify to them. Don't wait for the pastor to address it. You can address it. Because everyone is responsible. It's not only on my shoulders, it's on your shoulders as well. But do it lovingly. Are we together? Amen. That's the order in the Bible. Amen. Now,
Don't you just love this prophet?
Amen.
How he puts things orderly. Amen. Finances are in order. Spiritual matters are in order. And deacons. Are meant to be respected, brethren. Amen. I know in some cases, as a pastor, I cannot rejoice when a deacon is not respected. He who disrespects a deacon will disrespect the pastor not long. And if as a pastor I encourage it, one day I will reap what I sow. Did you hear me? Because sometimes poor deacons they go through a lot. They bring a man out of a ditch. Stuck in a ditch. And after they brought the man out of the dish, then he dusted himself off and said, "Yeah, hey, you know, I was planning to come out." But he was there in the dish. Hallelujah. People. A person we testify them the message today. And baptize him. After 6 months, he even knows better than a pastor. You know, according to the way I see it. But where were you before I testified to you? People know better. To such an extent, they don't ask anymore. These days, they just instruct the pastor. Pastor, I'm going to do 1, 2, 3. But a genuine sheep, he comes to the pastor and says, "Pastor, let's talk. And I've got such sheep. I've got these plans. I want to do 1, 2, 3. What do you think?" Others, you only know when they are caught by the fence. And so the sheep is caught by the fence. How it got to the fence, you don't know how it got to there. We've got them. They don't take advice. As long as the advice doesn't suit them, they don't take it. Amen.
The
constant correction. Amen. Are we together?
Amen.
But the reason we come,
it's
not because we want to say we are powerful. We want to lead the church lovingly until you reach home. There is a heaven to go to and there is a hell to go to. And as a result, we need to make sure that you've got the right material to take you there. But one thing that we need to know, we will never compromise the message to suit people's needs. When God sent the message, the message must change us. Not us to change the message.
Amen.
Are we together?
Amen.
Amen. Let me just read here. Now he says in the same message, therefore, no one has nothing to do with this. Maybe some of you, I always say, do people understand why we've got trust
this?
And I'm glad God gave us trust
this.
Amen. I've got nothing to do with finances. This is my choice.
Amen.
I've got nothing to do with finances. That's my choice. I've got trustees that handle that. I'm not interested in who is a big giver, who is a small giver. I don't want to know how much one gives, how much one doesn't give. My responsibility is to preach the gospel. The trust is to, for me, I tell them one thing. The day you come and speak about finances and we go to the granular level, it's when, if we are not able to pay for our obligations. If you see expenses higher than what you bring in, then it's a crisis. You must come and tell me and say, Pastor, we've got a problem. But as long as it's not like that, you manage them and you give me a feedback as we plan. But how much Brother Msisi is giving is none of my business. Because if I know if he's not living right, then I will be scared to address him because he's a big spender. I'm not interested in that. All I see the people in church, I just see souls. I don't attach money to it. Whether you're a big man or a small man, you are the same to me.
Amen.
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 I don't know who gives what. You can ask the trustees. I'm not even interested. I've seen finances that compromise a lot of pastors. Amen. The children of those that give more are treated with velvet gloves. Those that don't give, they even excommunicate them on the spot without hearing them. Three demons that corrupt pastors. Women. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And popularity and money, and they go together. You can't be popular unless you are popular with women. You can't be popular with women unless you've got money. They go together. Those are the triplets. They buried a lot of pastors. Amen. Are we together?
Amen.
That's why I've got a board. There are the gatekeepers. Amen. If I want to go and see a sister, I go with a deacon. I don't go alone, I go with a deacon. Why? Just to preserve the integrity of what we believe in. Hallelujah. You don't cancel a young woman without other person being there. If it is too confidential, a deacon will just be around the door. Hallelujah. Why? Because he's protecting the ministry. A genuine deacon protects the ministry. Amen.
Amen.
I know a pastor, not in the message, was counseling a woman, a young woman in church, in the office. People were outside. She just stomped out of the office, crying, and accused the pastor that the pastor was trying to kiss her. It was terrible. That pastor was advising other pastors and
said,
when you counsel a young woman, find a public space and sit with the chair together where everybody, although they don't hear, but they see. Because we are living during tough times. It's dying times.
It's cut so over. We are few. Amen.
And if you don't manage it,
your
ministry is gone. Your reputation is gone. Some pastors, is not because they did them, it's because they were careless how they interacted with women especially. If I speak to a sister, I want her husband to be aware. Hallelujah. If it's something that she doesn't want her to know, but she must know that I'm going to tell the husband, this is the problem, and this is how we need to fix it. And when you are transparent like that, then you've got no rumors. Because when rumors start, you're gone. This day they just say, there is no smoke without fire. So never allow the smoke to begin with. I'm talking to you as well, brothers, because I'm leading by example. As a young brother, don't caught you as a man, never caught yourself in compromising situations. If at work you've got a female colleague, always make sure that there is another male colleague as well. To keep what you believe in integrity. Can I get an amen, brother?
Amen.
It was too fainted, that amen.
Amen. Amen.
And if you work with women, they must know your wife. A transparent man is a sober man.
Indoda evela ebantwini ngokubonakala ngokubuyona uyindoda ohluzekile ekhanda.
And there won't be confusion in your life.
Angeke kube khona isiyaluyalo empilweni yakho.
You won't be able to call to answer things that you don't know.
Angeke ubizwe ukuzokhweshwa ngezinto ongazazi.
And this prophet has showed us.
Njengoba lo prophet asikhombisile.
He was such a man.
Why undoda enjalo?
In the olden days they didn't have cell phones.
Entsukwini zakudala bebanganawo umakhalekhukhwini.
You just went to a brother's house.
Wawuhamba uye nje endlini kamelusi.
He said, I went there. I knocked, and when I got there, I found that the sister was alone. I said, I won't come in. Just tell him that I was here. Hallelujah. Today is much better. You phone first. Are we together, brothers? Because your testimony must be preserved at all times. The world has had so much hypocrisy. And they are tired of hypocrisy. And the only thing that is remaining that is genuine, it's this message. And we must protect it by all costs. Because outside this message, there is no more hope. Outside this message, there is nothing that can produce sound meaning. Outside this message, there is nothing that can produce sound women. Outside this man, there is nothing that can produce sound churches. If you lower the standard of the message, you are gone. Let us keep the standard higher. Let us keep on pushing the standard higher. You can be faltered on anything.
Amen.
You can be faltered on anything. But never be faltered on a clean living. Because your life is a sacrifice to your God. You may not have a big revelation, but live a clean life. Then you will be a friend of God. Are we together? Amen. Now it says in closing, yeah? Therefore, no person has nothing to do in this. It's the majority of the people. If 20 votes for him and 21 votes against him, he goes. Hallelujah. Or vice versa.
It's the sovereignty of the local church. Each one of the members has a say so in the church. Anything goes on wrong, then they can come right around. And the only thing they have to do is to be before God, that they absolutely see that nothing hinders the moving of the church. Hallelujah. The church must run smoothly, and everything must be in order. The pastor in his order, the trustees in their orders, deacons in their orders, musicians in their orders. I think you know, musician, what I know, what I believe. Amen. That's why if you play a guitar, you cannot just be approached by some
geek
and then approach and say, can you come and play for us? Friday night you are playing at a geek. Sunday you are playing Amazing Grace in church. No, it doesn't work like that. If you play a geek, then we stop you in church. Hallelujah. Because you will bring the spirits of a geek into the church, and the sick people will get sicker because of the spirits that you bring. So a good musician is a clean living musician. And I love musicians that are clean living. Amen. Are we together? Then by so doing, it brings integrity to the church. Amen. And music must be handled by, I'm glad Bras Bu, you are here, it must be handled by people that are responsible. Because music can make the church backslide without the church knowing that they backslide. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I hope we are together. But discernment is what is required. Then the elderly sisters in their positions, advising the young ones, the young ones listening to the elderly ones. Then you've got a sweet, harmonious church. Then God can descend and come into that church. And the same one that will come from the church, it will show that is God behind it. It will build the people. And as a pastor, I've learned one thing. If I've got a problem with a brother, I go to his house and say, brother, you and I don't see eye to eye. Let us reason together as brothers. Then we reason together. Then I come to church. I preach the message that has nothing to do with the issue of that brother. Because the pulpit is not where we attack people. The reason it is the pulpit, it means I must pull you out of the pit.
Amen.
Hope we are together. Then I must be able to build you. Not attack you in the pulpit. If I attack you in the pulpit without sitting down with you, you must know that Mfundisi is a coward. Because a man that is a courageous man, he goes to the right people and correct them face to face and leave the pulpit for God to come down and operate in the church. I hope we are together. Always pray for your pulpit. Because if you've got pulpit delinquency, then you will have church delinquency. I hope we are together. If the pulpit is in its right place, then the church will be in its right place. I hope you are with me. God bless you. As you Amazing Grace.
sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Oh,
let's sing it.
Precious eternal God, Heavenly Father, we come to you this afternoon, O God, having felt you talk to us this morning, Heavenly Father. Lord God Almighty, we just want to thank you that, Heavenly Father, we just want to say that, Heavenly Lord God, we are thankful, O God.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, O God, we realize, O God, Heavenly Father, that, O God, our makeup is your word, Heavenly Father. That Heavenly Father, oh God, our joy, our strength, oh God, is the word of God, Heavenly Father. That Heavenly Father, oh God, nothing makes sense, oh God, besides the word of God, Heavenly Father. Because Heavenly Father, oh God, in the beginning, Heavenly Father, your word says there was the word. The word was with God and the word was God, Heavenly Father, oh God. So everything, Heavenly Father, revolves on the word, Heavenly Father. Because Heavenly Father, oh God, you said through your word, let every seed bring forth of its kind, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, oh God, as you were preaching yours, you were talking to us through the pastor, Heavenly Father, oh God, you took us to familiar places in Christ Jesus, Heavenly Father, knowing that, Heavenly Father, oh God, everything, oh God, that serves its purpose, Brother Branham says that it has a resurrection inside of it, oh God. Heavenly Father, thus we realize, oh God, it is good to hear the message, Heavenly Father. It is good, Heavenly Father, oh God, to follow the message, oh God. But Heavenly Father, it is great, Heavenly Father, to serve the purpose, Heavenly Father, to be in the position, oh God. Heavenly Father, oh God, we once, oh God, say, Heavenly Father, we just want to say, may you forgive us, oh God. Because, Heavenly Father, things happen, Heavenly Father, when we are outside our positions, Heavenly Father. Help us, Heavenly Father, to realize our callings, Heavenly Father. So, Heavenly Father, wanting bring dispute, Heavenly Father, into your congregation, Heavenly Father. Because, Heavenly Father, if you are in the positions, oh God, that's where we are strong, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Lord God. When the moon is in its position, oh God, it holds the ocean, Heavenly Father. When the moon moves out of position, then there comes chaos, Heavenly Father. Yes. As your sons and your daughters, Heavenly Father, oh God, which are called by your purpose, Heavenly Father, which are in this earth for a reason, Heavenly Father, help us to realize who we are, Heavenly Father, and carry on, oh God, into the journey, Heavenly Father, with perfect realization, oh God. Because Heavenly Father, oh God, for us, Heavenly Father, to have that rapture in faith, Heavenly Father. Your prophet says, Heavenly Father, it's a build upon, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, oh God, help us to take each and every word that we hear from the sermon, oh God, and go home and meditate on it, oh God, and build upon it, Heavenly Father, oh God, and never, oh God, cease to pray, oh God, for your gallant servant, oh God, for your faithful servant, oh God. Heavenly Father, Pastor Madiba, oh God, and the, oh God, and the deacons, oh God, and the trustees, oh God, help us to pray for each and every believers, oh God, because Heavenly Father, oh God, you said where the carcass is, there shall be the eagle, oh God. But Heavenly Father, if the pastor is dedicated, oh God, then Heavenly Father, he picks it up, oh God, he picks us up, oh God, from the pit, Heavenly Father, until the prophet of God says your pastor will see you through, oh God. Help us to pray for them, oh God. We just want to say, Heavenly Father, oh God, we are thankful for the wonderful word, oh God. It has turned us, oh God. It has made us stronger, Heavenly Father. We just want to say, Heavenly Father, oh God, you are faithful, oh God. You never fail, oh God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever, oh God. Heavenly Father, oh God, help us, oh God, to be in the rhythm of the message of the hour, oh God. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be in tune, oh Heavenly Father, when we walk out here, oh God, for the world to see us as written epistles, oh God. Read of all men, oh God. We just want to commit, oh God, the furthering, oh God, of the work, Heavenly Father. Because Heavenly Father, it does not only end at the pulpit, Heavenly Father. But Heavenly Father, oh God, we need to carry the message which you have heard, oh God, to the world, oh God. Until your Bible says, Heavenly Father, we need to be the salt of the world, Heavenly Father, oh God. When the people see us, oh God, they need to be thirsty, oh God. Help us, oh God, when we walk out of this service, oh God. May one soul be at least thirsty, Heavenly Father, then we know we are closer home than we are. We commit everything, oh God, into your capable hands. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Rishi. Amen. That's good. Let's say we lift him up higher. Amen. We lift him up. Just two more songs thereafter. I'll be releasing you.
So, Amen.
We lift him
higher.
Higher. Love the Lord. He has done so much for us. Amen.
Amen.
He protects us.
Yes,
He provides for us. He leads us. He preserves us.
Amen.
So we must love Him.
Amen.
We didn't serve Him because we are afraid that we'll go to hell. That's a very dangerous motive. We serve Him because we love Him. The prophet said, even if He were to take me into hell, I will still love Him. Amen. Just give us more songs and then two more, then thereafter you are dismissed.
Baba siyabonga,
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 siyabonga, siyabonga.
Be there.